Incentive alignment bonds. War bonds, but backwards. Your grandparents funded World War II at roughly 3% returns. You fund disease eradication at 272%. Same structure, fewer Nazis, better spreadsheet. Remember when your grandparents funded World War II by buying war bonds? They got roughly 3% returns and a world without Nazis. Mostly. Good deal. You're doing the same thing, except instead of buying bonds to kill Nazis, you're buying bonds to kill diseases. War bonds, but backwards. The core problem. Good ideas die in committee. Here's your species fun puzzle. You know how to save millions of lives. You can measure exactly how many. You have the money. You don't do it. Not because your politicians are evil, because your system is built so that politicians maximize re-election, status, and post office careers, not humans continuing to exist. Bureaucracies maximize budget and turf, not speed of treatments. Lobbyists maximize client profits, not global welfare. You don't fix this with awareness campaigns. You've been raising awareness for decades, and everyone is still dying, but they're dying aware, so that's nice. You don't fix it with white papers. Politicians use white papers to stabilize wobbly tables. You fix it by changing what self-interest points at. On Washonia, we used something very similar to bootstrap the whole transition 4,297 years ago. We don't need them anymore. People do useful things because they're useful, which I realize sounds made up. But you also thought washing your hands sounded made up until 1847. The point is, you need them now. This chapter describes how to legally bribe your politicians into doing the right thing. Incentive alignment bonds, or IABs, a financial instrument for paying for better governance without technically paying politicians, giving money to governments, or going to prison. Your 1% treaty isn't constrained by physics, biology, or money. It's constrained by politics, which is like being constrained by your dog's opinion on quantum mechanics, except your dog can veto legislation. No politician wants to be the one who cut the military, even by 1%, even if that 1% cures cancer. The attack ads write themselves. Senator Johnson voted to weaken America. Your system does exactly what it's incentivized to do. It's not broken. It's working perfectly at the wrong thing. The fix, tell every politician on earth, vote for a 1% style reform and you get better re-election odds and a Goldman Sachs board seat when you retire. No backroom deals, no suitcases of cash, just a standing public rule. Do the objectively good thing and the world systematically rewards you. Nobody has to become a better person. The money just circulates until diseases stop existing. How IABs work. 4 steps. Not charity, because it doesn't scale. Not lobbying, slot taken. Not paying politicians, illegal, slot also taken. You work with the primates you have, not the primates you wish you had. The recipe has 2 steps. Step 1, make the right thing profitable. Step 2, wait. There is no step 3. On Washonia, we spent 4,000 years trying to add a step 3. Moral education, cultural reform, public shaming, interpretive dance. None of them worked. Step 2 always did the job by itself. Step 1, pick a measurable outcome. Measure funding flows, not health outcomes. You can't attribute a treatment breakthrough to any single country's funding, but you can measure percent of military spending redirected, total dollars contributed, and politician votes on treaty passage. Health improvements justify the policy. Funding flows are the scoreboard, because that's what politicians actually control. Step 2, raise capital. Investors buy incentive alignment bonds, or IABs. Capital sits in a trust. It pays out if and only if public good targets are hit. Same structure as green bonds and catastrophe bonds. Step 3, reward your politicians. Indirectly. When a politician votes for a 1% style policy and funding actually flows, public good scores rise, published by independent rating orgs, electoral support increases, independent campaigns favor high scores, post office opportunities unlock, fellowships, boards, speaking circuits. No money flows to politicians. See why this isn't bribery. What flows is reputation, electoral advantage, and career advancement. Step 4, watch self-interest do the rest. Your politician's utility function is roughly U equals the probability of re-election, plus career advancement, plus post office income, plus legacy. IABs make supporting 1% equivalent policies strictly increase all four terms, no altruism required. Maximize personal payoff and reduce suffering become the same action. You've tricked your leaders to save lives by making it the selfish thing to do. The three-layer architecture, how to not go to prison. You cannot legally say support bill number XYZ123 and get paid. That's bribery. But you can create a system where politicians who support a class of pro-social policies systematically get more of everything they want. The trick? Rule-based, universal, announced in advance. Layer A, scoring, data only. An independent org assigns each politician a public good score based on votes, sponsorship, and funding flows. Scores cover a policy class, any greater than or equal to 1% military to health reallocation, not a specific bill. Public, rules-based, nonpartisan. In the 1% treaty materials, this domain-specific implementation is called the Treaty Support Score. See the Senator Smith example for how scores translate to concrete payoffs. Layer B, electoral benefits, separate actors. Independent PACs and 501c4s commit in advance to favor high-scoring politicians. The goal? Make the public good score as influential as Moody's credit ratings or NRA grades. Moody's can downgrade a country and suddenly borrowing costs spike. NRA grades already determine which politicians get funded. Same gun, different target. Layer C, post office careers, the Goldman Sachs board problem. Foundations and think tanks set eligibility rules. Public good score above X gets you WHO boards and Aspen fellowships. Below X, you're explaining at dinner why you voted against curing diseases. The revolving door, but spinning towards saved lives instead of toward whoever paid the most lobbyists. Legal entity separation. For the scoring layer, a 501c3 research organization provides metrics, dashboards, and public data but cannot support or oppose candidates. For the electoral layer, a 501c4, PAC, or super PAC makes independent expenditures for high scorers but cannot coordinate with candidates. For the post office layer, foundations and think tanks set eligibility criteria but cannot condition grants on specific votes. Three separate entities that definitely don't coordinate but somehow all reward the same behavior. Your species invented this structure. It's genuinely one of your better ideas, which is a low bar, but still. Why this isn't bribery? Four reasons your lawyers will stop hyperventilating. No one is paid to break a duty. Do your job better, and we'll tell everyone you did. That's a performance review, not a bribe. Rules are universal and ex ante. Same rules, all parties, announced publicly in advance. No envelopes in parking garages. No money goes to politicians. They benefit indirectly. Better scores, electoral support, nicer career options. This is how democracy was supposed to work before your species broke it. Scores are based on public voting records. Did they vote yes? Verifiable and ungameable. The 10% fund flows automatically based on treasury inflows. Pure math. Bribery corrupts alignment. IABs create it. Wealthy actors already buy policy. Pharma spends $300 million a year on lobbying. Weapons manufacturers spend $127 million a year. The question isn't, should money influence policy, but can you point the money at welfare instead of warfare? Here's what makes this structurally different from current lobbying. In the current system, money and influence are inseparable. Give money, get influence over where the money goes, use that to get more money. The loop is opaque and self-reinforcing.
IABs break the loop. Investors give money and get money back. 10% revenue share. That's it. They don't decide which diseases get funded. Politicians get career incentives. 10%. They don't touch the research budget. The remaining 80% flows to clinical trials via wishocratic allocation, controlled by direct democracy, not by the people who paid for it. The corruption is capped at 20%, transparent and completely separated from the public goods funding. Name a government budget that can say the same. Worked example, House Senator Smith votes yes. Abstract mechanisms are great for economists and incomprehensible to everyone who matters. Here's how IABs work on an actual human politician, a creature that navigates entirely by self-interest, like a moth but with a pension. The scoring system. Each politician gets a public good score based on their voting record, like a credit score for your soul, except useful. For a bill to increase percentage reallocation to the 1% treaty fund, a yes vote earns plus 15 points, and a no vote earns minus 15 points. Protecting existing funding earns plus 10 points for a yes and minus 10 points for a no. Expanding the treaty to more countries earns plus 10 points for a yes and minus 10 points for a no. Cutting funding or the percentage results in minus 20 points for a yes and plus 5 points for a no. Your score determines what you get. A score of 75 or higher results in plus $2 million in PAC spending for you, Tier 1 post office careers like WHO boards or ASPIC fellowships, and an annual income of $500,000 or more. A score of 60 to 74 results in plus $500,000 in PAC spending for you, Tier 2 post office careers like Brookings, RAND, or university chairs, and an annual income of $200,000 to $400,000. A score of 50 to 59 results in $0 in PAC spending, Tier 3 standard revolving door careers, and an annual income of $150,000 to $300,000. A score of 40 to 49 results in $500,000 to your opponent, Tier 3 careers, and an annual income of $150,000 to $300,000. A score below 40 results in $2 million to your opponent, Tier 3 careers, and an annual income of $150,000 to $300,000. In short, high scores get millions in PAC support and access to the best post office careers. Low scores watch that same money go to their opponents. It's like a video game skill tree, except the XP comes from not killing people. The setup. Victory incentive alignment bonds have raised $1 billion from investors who want 272% returns. That money has funded a referendum showing 70% of Americans support reallocating 1% of military spending to pragmatic clinical trials. A lobbying campaign that's converted several weapons manufacturers. They did the math on their own mortality, and mortality lost. The public goods scoring system described above, tracking every federal legislator. Senator Smith, Republican from Texas, is up for re-election in 2026. The 1% Treaty Implementation Act is coming to a vote. Her current stats: public goods score, 45, below Senate median of 52. Current probability of re-election, 55%. Expected post office tier, 3. Expected post office income, $200,000 per year. The old calculus, without IABs.
If Smith votes yes, attack ads will claim Smith voted to weaken America. But if she votes no, she's safe from military lobby attacks. If she votes yes, defense contractors fund her opponent, while if she votes no, defense contractors fund her. If she votes yes, there is no immediate upside, but if she votes no, the status quo is maintained. If she votes yes, benefits arrive in 10 years, while if she votes no, costs arrive never. expected utility of no vote equals 0.55 times office plus $200,000 per year times 20 years plus medium legacy. Result? Vote no, obviously. The new calculus, with incentive alignment bonds, or IABs. If Smith votes yes, vote record plus 15 points, major treaty vote. New score, 45 plus 15 equals 60, rising to 72 with the early supporter multiplier. The scoring system rewards politicians who vote yes before the outcome is certain. Probability of re-election, 55% to 62%. Score boost plus $500,000 in independent support. Post office tier, 3-2, with path to tier 1 if she becomes a champion. Expected post office income, $200,000 per year to $300,000 per year. If Smith votes no, vote record, minus 15 points. New score, 45 minus 15 equals 30. Probability of re-election, 55% to 48%. Score penalty plus $2 million goes to opponent. Attack ads funded, Smith voted against the cure your family needs. The math at the moment of the vote. That's a 14 percentage point swing in re-election odds, 62% versus 48%, and $2 million in lifetime post office earnings. These numbers improve further after the treaty passes. See post-treaty table below. Result? Vote yes. The math changed. What actually happens? 1. Pre-vote, Smith's staff models the yes vote. Her score jumps to 72 and re-election odds rise 7 points. 2. Lobbying meeting. The military lobby threatens, but three major contractors already support the treaty. Their market is shrinking 1%, the health market is growing, and the bond returns make their pension funds very happy. The threat is empty. 3. Campaign finance. Health advocacy PACs have committed $50 million nationally. At a score of 72, she gets $500,000 in independent support. A no vote sends that $500,000 to her opponent. 4. Constituent mail. 70% of Texans voted yes in the referendum. Voting against that means explaining why you think they're wrong about not wanting to die. 5. The vote. Smith votes yes, so do 50 others. The bill passes the Senate. Post-treaty. After the treaty passes and public support solidifies, Smith's numbers improve beyond the initial vote day projections. Her score climbs from 72 to 78 as she co-sponsors expansion legislation and the early supporter multiplier compounds. That pushes her into Tier 1 territory. Her public good score rises from 45 to 78. The probability of re-election rises from 55% to 68%. Independent support increases from $0 to $3 million. And her post office tier moves from 3 to 1. Her post office income rises from $200,000 per year to $500,000 per year. Every metric jumps. Her score increases by over 70%. Re-election odds climb 13 points. She gains $3 million in independent support, and her post office income more than doubles.
Smith wins re-election comfortably, joins the WHO advisory board, chairs the Aspen Health Initiative, all because she did math instead of listening to lobbyists. Politicians can count. They just need something worth counting. The revenue split. Incentive alignment bonds raise the capital and align the politicians. Treaty revenue splits three ways: 10% to investors, $2.72 billion, 10% to political incentives, $2.72 billion, and 80% to the part that actually funds treatments, $21.8 billion. Everyone profits from treaty expansion. If the treaty holds, this is the rare financial instrument where everyone profits might actually be true. Why 10% goes to political incentives. Your 1% treaty is the proof of concept. The end game is redirecting most of military spending to health. That doesn't happen automatically. Without sustained political pressure, your treaty stalls at 1% forever, like every other agreement your species has signed and then quietly forgotten about.
The 10% allocation creates a political ratchet that only moves one direction. At a 1% treaty level, bondholder payouts and political incentives are $2.72 billion each, with research funding at $21.8 billion, and politicians are rewarded for passage. At a 5% treaty, payouts and incentives rise to $13.6 billion each, with research funding at $108.8 billion, causing the defense industry to pivot to health. At a 10% level, payouts and incentives reach $27.2 billion each, with research funding at $218 billion, and health lobbying starts to rival defense lobbying. At a 50% level, payouts and incentives are $136 billion each, research funding is $1.09 trillion, and global transformation begins. At a 100% level, payouts and incentives are $272 billion each, research funding is $2.18 trillion, and full redirection is achieved. The pattern is simple. Every expansion multiplies the political incentive budget, the research funding, and bondholder payouts. Support pragmatic clinical trials would become the single most profitable opinion a politician can hold. That's how you change what politicians believe. Make the belief profitable. The bondholder constituency. EABs create the defense lobby's mirror image, a permanent class of wealthy investors whose income scales directly with treaty expansion. At 1%, bondholders collect $2.72 billion a year. At full redirection, $272 billion a year. Perpetual bonds mean a perpetual financial incentive to lobby for expansion every single year, forever. Except bondholders have better math and a more popular product. Not dying polls well. Without EABs, from year 1 to 3, the treaty passes, followed by celebration and champagne. From year 4 to 7, the defense lobby regroups, expansion fails, and the champagne goes flat. From year 16 onward, the treaty becomes another Paris Agreement, a nice symbol that everyone ignores, and the champagne was wasted. With EABs, from year 1 to 3, the treaty passes and politicians are rewarded. From year 4 to 7, politicians compete to expand the treaty to 2%. From year 8 to 15, a 5% treaty causes defense contractors to pivot. From year 50 and beyond, full redirection is achieved.
The 10% isn't a cost, it's the engine. Without it, you get a one-time win. With it, you get compounding political pressure that makes each expansion easier than the last, beyond the 1% treaty. The same architecture works for any global coordination problem where the public good is measurable, politicians control the outcome, benefits are diffuse, and costs are concentrated. That describes most of the problems that could end your civilization, which is a worryingly long list. In the climate domain, United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, or UNFCCC, emissions data makes vote for emissions cuts career optimal. In the nuclear domain, Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, or START, warhead counts make saying, "I reduced our arsenal," career optimal. In the pandemic domain, WHO joint external evaluation makes saying, "I funded preparedness," career optimal. Same pattern every time. Existing metric, scoring system, electoral support for high scorers, cushy jobs for leaders who governed well. See the academic paper if you enjoy equations. For investors, the sections above explain why IABs work. The sections below explain why you should buy them. If you prefer not dying and also getting rich, keep reading. The investor pitch. A financial instrument that generates massive returns while accidentally curing diseases as a side effect. Like a hedge fund with a conscience, except the conscience is also profitable. What you're offering investors? 272% annually, funded by a share of treaty revenue. That number looks absurd. It should. It's the premium for betting on politicians doing something useful, which is historically a bad bet. But the payout, if it works, is real. The money doesn't stop, if the treaty holds.
no maturity date. Bondholders get paid as long as the treaty exists, which could be until the sun explodes or humanity achieves immortality, whichever comes first. Bet on the immortality thing. That's what the bonds are for. If the treaty holds is doing a lot of work in that sentence, so let's address it. The treaty creates a class of billionaire bondholders whose personal wealth depends on the treaty surviving and expanding. These are people with enormous unrelated influence over the government. Media access, campaign donations, social networks, board seats at companies that employ voters. They didn't buy influence over the treaty fund, they bought a revenue share. But their pre-existing influence over everything else means any politician who tries to repeal the treaty is picking a fight with the richest, most politically connected humans on the planet, all of whom have a quarterly earnings call explaining why the treaty should be bigger, not smaller. The perpetuity math.
Incentive alignment bonds never mature. They keep paying as long as the treaty exists. You calculate lifetime value using the perpetuity formula, which is finance speak for money printer that runs as long as the input does. Total value equals the annual payment divided by the discount rate. Even if you're extremely pessimistic, if you are mildly skeptical with a 3% discount, the total lifetime value is $90.7 billion, and your $1 billion becomes 90 times your money. If you are pretty skeptical with a 5% discount, the total lifetime value is $54.4 billion, and your $1 billion becomes 54 times your money. If you are very skeptical with a 10% discount, the total lifetime value is $27.2 billion, and your $1 billion becomes 27 times your money. Even at a 10% discount rate, as risky as funding a Mars casino, your $1 billion becomes worth $27.2 billion. As long as humans prefer being alive to being dead, the treaty exists. As long as the treaty exists, you get paid. And as long as you get paid, you have every reason to make sure the treaty keeps existing. It's a loyalty program for civilization, except the rewards are real and the members are billionaires with senators on speed dial. Security package and risk. 5 layers of you'll get paid. 1. $27.2 billion plus annual treaty revenue stream starts year 1 if treaty passes. 2. Political entrenchment. Treaties are historically hard to repeal once implemented, unlike New Year's resolutions. 3. Public support. 70% plus approval grows with each breakthrough. 4. Aligned incentives. Everyone profits from cooperation. 5. First lien position. Bondholders get paid before anyone else touches the money. 2 categories of risk, both involving trusting humans, which is historically unwise. Project risks. Political risk. The treaty may fail to pass because politicians prefer the status quo to political risk. Mitigation. Broad bipartisan support. Multi-country strategy. No single points of failure. Execution risk. The campaign may fail to hit milestones. Mitigation. Milestone-gated funding, lean operations, and competent humans. Finding those is itself a risk. Investor-specific risks. Liquidity risk. Funds locked 12 to 36 months during the campaign phase, roughly how long it takes to convince politicians that living voters are better than dead ones. Mitigation. Secondary market trading after the lockup. Timeline risk. Politicians could take longer than projected. They are famously slow at everything except accepting donations. The perpetual nature of the bond rewards patience. How it compares, if it works.
Victory incentive alignment bonds. Annual return of 272%. High risk. Binary, treaty passes or it doesn't. A term of forever. And requires politicians to act rationally. Savings account. Annual return of 0.5%. No risk. Accessible whenever, but loses to inflation. S&P 500. Annual return of 10%. Moderate risk. Accessible whenever, but boring and responsible. Real estate. Annual return of 8%. Moderate risk. A 30-year term.
and requires being a landlord. Venture capital. Annual return of 15 to 25%, extreme risk, a 7 to 10 year term, and requires picking winners. Hedge funds. Annual return of 8 to 15%, high risk, includes lockups and requires being rich already. Medallion fund. Annual return of 39%, extreme risk, no applicable term, and is closed to mortals. Warren Buffett. Annual return of 20%, moderate risk, a 60-year term, and requires being Warren Buffett. Fine print. The 272% is a revenue share return on campaign capital, not a market return on traded securities. It's a fundamentally different kind of bet. You're funding a political campaign, and the return is a permanent share of treaty revenue if that campaign succeeds. The other investments in this table are liquid and diversified. This one is concentrated and binary. The return is enormous because the risk is enormous. If the treaty fails, you lose your money. If politicians prefer dead constituents to living ones, that's exactly what happens. But you'll be too dead from preventable diseases to notice. Pitch angle. If you believe the treaty can pass, the risk-adjusted return is compelling. If you don't, no return percentage will convince you. Investment thresholds and term sheet. Lockup, 12 to 36 months until the treaty passes. Then perpetual distributions begin, like a dividend that outlives you. Minimum investment amounts by investor type. Your species requires gatekeeping even for saving itself. Institutional investors require $10 million or more per investor. Family offices require $5 million or more per office. High net worth individuals require $1 million or more per person. Qualified investors require a $100,000 minimum. Have lawyers review. This is illustrative only. The interest rate is 0%, all returns via revenue share model. The revenue share is 10% of all treaty inflows. The term is perpetual, no maturity date. The payment frequency is annual distributions. Default provisions include transparent reporting and third-party audits, where bondholders receive money, not influence. This sounds like a Ponzi scheme run by someone who failed math. Ponzi schemes pay old investors with new investor money. That's why they collapse. This pays investors with a share of $27.2 billion in annual revenue. That revenue comes from redirecting 1% of military budgets via treaty. The money comes from governments that currently spend it on bombs. The returns are high because the political risk is high. You're betting politicians will act rationally when shown the numbers. Historically, that's a coin flip at best. It's not a Ponzi scheme. It's lobbying economics pointed at diseases instead of wars. Same weapon, different enemy. Won't politicians game the metrics? To game these metrics, you'd have to falsify your own vote, public record, or pretend money moved when it didn't, treasury records. Orders of magnitude harder than self-reported environmental, social, and governance, or ESG compliance, which is the bar your species currently uses. What if politicians reverse the policy? Score decay. The same mechanism that rewarded you punishes backsliding, making reversals career suicide, the only kind of death politicians fear. What happens when this fails and I lose my $1 billion? If the treaty fails completely, you lose your $1 billion. It gets spent on the campaign, convincing humans to click buttons, bribing lobbyists, building platforms, paying lawyers to make bribery legal. This is the primary risk. You're funding a political campaign with a massive payout if it wins. If it fails completely, you'll probably die of a preventable disease anyway. You won't be around to complain about the lost money. It's venture capital, but for not dying. Is this realistic globally?
doesn't have to start global. One or two pilot countries, Portugal, Costa Rica, New Zealand, adopt a limited 1% style policy. Funding flows get verified, leaders get invited to better conferences, other countries notice, FOMO takes over. FOMO is the most powerful force in international relations, more powerful than diplomacy, trade agreements, or nuclear weapons. Credit ratings started as one guy in the 1800s publishing opinions about railroad bonds. Now, Moody's can tank a country's economy with a press release. Same scaling path. Proof of concept, early movers, FOMO among laggards, new normal. Your species is remarkably good at copying things that work once someone else does it first. How is this different from just donating to charity? Charity is for people who want to feel good. This is for people who want to get obscenely rich while curing diseases as a side effect. It's the Louisiana Purchase of pragmatic clinical trials, except instead of buying land from France, you're buying life extension from death. And unlike France, it doesn't surrender. Summary. For investors, 272% annually, as long as the treaty holds, with first lien priority, perpetual payments that grow as the treaty expands from 1% to 5% plus. Side effect? Millions of humans continue existing.
IABs don't change human nature. Nothing changes human nature. You've tried religion, philosophy, education, and strongly worded letters. None of it worked. IABs just redirect the nature you've got. Legal, three-layer architecture, no money to officials. Scalable, one country, then FOMO. Self-reinforcing, each expansion funds the next expansion. You're not asking your politicians to be saints. Saints don't run for office. You're making save millions of lives and advance my career the same sentence. The rest is gravity.